have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Anybody wanna know Well, praise the Lord. It's Tuesday night, 10:30. You must be listening to The Voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith. So glad to have you tonight to come on and be a part and we want you to enjoy our lesson on tonight. Tonight we're going to see just who's with us as we begin in this Word of God tonight. Amen. The reason that you hear me right now, I know at least one person is on the line. That's my producer, wonderful and sweet woman of God, Kimmy Kim. Come on and say
hello.
Hello.
How you doing? This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I am looking forward to this discussion. I miss you all on Saturday, and you guys was cutting up. I heard all of it, and I missed it. So now I'm back on Tuesday. You guys are
right.
Bad on Saturday. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Amen. Let me check and see if they're selling peach pies down in Georgia this week. Amen. None other than the man of God, Apostle Irv Whitlow. Are you with us tonight?
Oh, I was thinking about a scene from Steve Harvey. The Lord bless you, man. And you look good.
The Motown Review comes on tomorrow night.
I got that from E.
Just go to Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and talk to a man there that knows something about that, about Bobo, about hitting the road. Let's talk to Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. Are you there tonight?
Here we are live in New Hampshire, where the moose are running wild, the fox is getting their shoes on, and all the beavers and the woodchucks have no choice because right now we're tuned into The Voice. How are you, sir?
Look at that. Look at that. He got us a wildlife audience tonight. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You. You right there. Sit down. You are a dog. You are not a moose, you lousy little. And put the food down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Lord have mercy.
I said put it back. That's my chicken. That was my chicken. Okay. There you go. Rich and Tendon stole my chicken.
I don't know if the sleep done hit her or not. Amen. But let me check down in Atlanta, Georgia. And let's see if our bosses. Felicia Flight is with us tonight. All right. I guess she's resting. It sounds like it's just us. Amen. Let's do what we're going to do unless they're listening in. But let's do what we're going to do. Amen. Jimmy Kim, give us prayer.
Amen. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for another good day. Thank you, Father God, for breaking the bread in your word. Give us the strength to continue on this wonderful journey that you have called us to do. Decrease us and put more of your ways in your precepts, Father God. We thank you for all you have done. Let this wonderful podcast, The Voice, be uplifting to those who are seeking you. And we know that with you, we can have all things, and we will win. But without you, things are really hard living without you. So, Father God, touch those who don't know you. Touch the homeless. Touch those who are in need. Touch those who are going through the bereavement and sickness. And, Father God, continue on uplifting Apostle Smith, Bishop-elect Elder Richard, and as well my brother, Apostle Urban Whitlow. Father God, these are some wonderful men in the word, and they are definitely bringing in the word. They love you, Father God. Continue on blessing their ministries. Let it be a blessing to those who are in need of the word and those who are in need of to know who you are. Bring those people to them so that they can be fed properly, Father God. And we will continue on praising your name and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And we make these prayers in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Kimmy Kim, for that wonderful prayer on tonight. Amen. Apostle Urban Whitlow, give us our scripture.
Well, I will begin with Psalm 53. Verse 1, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. The second scripture will be 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 10, which tells us, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Then our final scripture tonight will be out of Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse number 16. And it reads on this wise, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits, my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Read in your hearing, Luke 12, 16 through 21. The word of God is blessed for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to do something special tonight. Kimmy Kim, give us part one of the subnoptic, and then Bishop-elect, you close out. Tell us about last week.
Okay. I am going to be honest. I don't remember what we talked about. I do have chemo brain. I'm so sorry. I know we were talking about Elijah and the subject. Oh, my goodness.
You went back 2 weeks.
Okay.
You You went back 2 weeks. I'm talking about last week. All right.
What did we speak
I'm
on?
I'm going to get Brother Rich to help you out. And it'll jar, your chemo back into
okay.
Nemo.
Right.
Okay.
Well, listen, we talked about what kind of food am I.
You guys got to say that. Okay, I got it now.
I make a suggestion that we kidnap her and take her to the desert out in Arizona.
I have chemo brain. You guys don't understand. I have to write these
I'm
down.
I'm not buying. I am so not hearing that. The memory of the just is blessed. That's all I know about you. I'm not buying chemo brain. But go ahead.
Well, basically, when I think about what kind of fool I am, I in it in saying that I am a fool for the Lord, because it says in the word that you will be a fool for him when you continue on living for him. And people may not understand your walk, so that's why that's another angle of being a fool for the Lord, because you're praying for something, you see it coming, and people are like laughing at you, say, ha-ha, you're still doing this, and nothing has happened. So people tend to make fun of your purpose because they're looking at the vision out of the physical eye instead of the spiritual one. And sometimes people tend to believe that there is no God. And so we are sometimes called a fool. And it's okay, because God calls us peculiar people. Peculiar people are strange people. People who are, you know, strong enough to understand that this life is bigger than us. And once you understand who God is, you will see that, you know, it's okay to be a fool for him. Yeah.
Okay. And I'll pick up here. We went through the painstaking event of describing or defining what a fool is. Each of us at that particular time shared our base views on what a fool actually is. And Apostle Whitlow, I believe, was the one who actually looked up from the description of what a fool was. And we discovered some things. One of the main things we discovered is the individual who refuses to acknowledge the very presence of Almighty God actually ends up being the biggest fool. Because truthfully speaking, and I'm paraphrasing and trying to shorten this whole dissertation, but basically that individual going through life trying to convince himself that he in fact is God, or he is this superior being, this individual now discovers that the one who made the sun, stars, the moon, and the sky actually has the ability to separate his spirit from that physical body and put him in a position whereby he's not able to do much of anything. Nonetheless, the bottom line is, in the course of our studies, the question was asked of each of us what kind of fool we claim ourselves to be, and many of us agreed that we were a fool Christ, that we were sold out, is really what we were saying in so many words, to this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We ended, if I'm not mistaken, dealing with that Psalms 53. We actually didn't get a chance to get too deep into 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but we did discover that in our calling ourselves a fool, we put ourselves in a position whereby we are saying that we're sold out to the place and point that we're willing to give ourselves for the sake of somebody else. And that's how foolish we really are. I'm going to stop right there. I hope I've covered enough.
All right. And that was the basis of our conversation from last week. Maybe we'll get a chance to get back to that 1 Corinthians 10. But tonight, we want to deal with the book of Luke. What is that scripture again, Apostle, in case somebody is just coming in?
Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, which we've read in your hearing.
All right. All of y'all, you should have heard that. Luke 12, starting at verse 16. All right. Now, one thing we need to understand. In this lesson or in these lessons, we are not pointing the finger at anybody. We are giving you the option or the choice or the question, what kind of fool am I? You yourself must answer that. You yourself must make the analysis to see where you are in God. Now, tonight, I need you to understand that this text right here, Jesus is so smooth. Jesus is so, he just knows how to come in and bring the right conversation at the right time with that right person and get you to a place where you say what shouldn't be said and forget that you're talking to Jesus himself. And we're going to discover tonight that in his smoothness, he got this man into a conversation or into a thought path that really, really jacked him up. All right, let's start reading. Hallelujah. Verse 16.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Now let's
and
say,
he fought with.
Let's say right there, this man had some stuff. Now a lot of people get this mixed up. They mess up that scripture a lot. It'll be easier for a rich man to get into heaven and all that, you know, it won't be that easy for a rich man to go. You can get through the eye of a needle, you know, before a rich man can go to heaven. The Bible didn't say that. And it wasn't trying to point to the fact that somebody rich could not make it to heaven, or else we have a lot of preachers in this hour that are sharing the word, but on their way to hell. Because there are some preachers out there that are multi-millionaires, but they're still sharing the gospel. So what does it mean tonight that this man had a great ground, or his ground was yielding greatly? Let's talk about it both according to scripture and let's give it some natural credence.
I think when it talks about this man had a ground that brought forth plentifully, I believe what it's talking about was the ground had been treated well for it to bring forth, which means it had to be in the right season. It had to have the right amount of seed, the right amount of sunlight, the right amount of rain or irrigation, those things that would cause growth to come. But according to this, it brought forth in a great measure, as opposed to some that are just trying to bring forth. Some comes forth moderately. Some come forth in a good measure. And then you have that which comes forth above and beyond. And apparently his ground had something in it that made it come forth good and great and even better than that. It was plentifully.
Are you trying to tell me that growth takes more than seed and dirt?
Oh, sure I do.
Oh, come on. You got to stop it now. If people in the church want to see growth, and you're telling me it takes more than seed and dirt, I thought that was all you had to do. What are some of the elements needed to get growth?
Well, you've got to have a good soil.
Okay.
That's one.
So
two,
now
you've got to have.
Let's change that spiritual. You said good soil.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we call good soil? A good church.
That's what we call good soil, a good church, a good place of worship.
Okay, now go ahead.
Then you have to get some good sunlight.
Uh-oh.
You have to get...
Uh-oh.
Yep.
So that means you got to spend some time with God.
You've got to.
Uh-huh. Now go ahead.
Every now and then, you got to get some good rain because your seeds need to be watered.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the pastor, that means there are people with water pots or hoses that will give the right irrigation.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's go on from there.
And then after the sunlight, the water, you've got to have some time for those ingredients to come together and make things happen for the seed.
Oh, so you don't grow overnight.
Oh, no. Never grow overnight.
So now, and get ready, Bishop Elect, I'm going to come your way and let you talk about all those elements and how they work together. But you're trying to tell me that it's impossible to get saved today and next week become a bishop.
Man, let me tell you something. That just does not happen. That does not happen. Not even through a miracle. Not happen.
So time has an element in the growth.
Time has an element in the growth. Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy, Jesus. Is there anything else we need to know about this growth? Because I'm getting ready to go to Bishop Elect, and get some more on this.
Well, here's the other thing. You cannot pluck yourself up and then plant yourself elsewhere and think you're going to still get good results.
You got to stay still where you're planted at.
You got to.
My God.
Oh, and there is something else. While you are planted, you've got to deal with some unfortunate circumstances because everyone doesn't treat soil the same way. So, in other words, you deal with a lot of crap, but you got to see that there's value in the crap that you deal with.
Ooh.
We all up in the wrong tree. Get off my street. This is supposed to be mine.
Go ahead, Bishop Elect. Let's hear what other people do have to this growing
Apostle
process.
Apostle Whitlow stepping all up on my side of the fence, but that's quite all right. It's a good jump-off point. Let's look at what is in the soil. He already mentioned there is manure. If you know anything from the natural standpoint, farmers will collect horse, cow, pig, and all different types of manure and make a compost to which is spread on this soil. The first thing they're doing is breaking up that fallow ground. They're breaking the ground up and conditioning the ground to get ready to receive the nutrients that are needed and or necessary. Spiritually speaking, as the seed or the warehouse of seed or the word that God has made you to be, God has specific people that will come your way and break up the fallow ground in your life. Some people don't have patience. Some people don't have love. Some people don't have joy. Some people don't know what it means to suffer long. But it is through the process of those four elements that I mentioned, you will learn to become what God needs you to be, so that when that seed, which now, go ahead, that seed which looks one way in its beginning has now opportunity to be buried in all that crap, as Apostle Whitlow says, and in the midst of that crap, while being buried 3 to 6 inches in the ground, begins to decompose and transform from what it once was to what God wants it to be.
Go ahead. I got to go a little deeper with this thing, because I'm catching a revelation here.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you say when you first started talking, the ground has been mixed with fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
with manure.
Mm-hmm.
So now on the spiritual side, in order to grow, are you trying to tell me there's some sugar honey you got to go through in order to get some growth?
If you were going to preach a message tonight, you got to go through some sugar honey iced tea if you want to grow.
Now let's talk about that. Nobody, we call it trials and tribulations.
That's what they are.
Stabbing in the back. We call it pulling the rug out from under us, and many other things that we call it. But it's all for our what? Making.
Our good. Now, mm-hmm. can I share something with you, Apostle? King David had the best saying I've ever read in the Bible. When he confronted his said-to-be friend in Psalms 55, and all of us know it if we've been through the Bible, it was not my enemy that reproached me, for then I would have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, for then I would have hid myself from him. But it was you, my brother, the one closest to me, the one that ate bread with me, the one that slept in my bed, the one that drank from the same cup that I drank from, the one that knew my ins, the one that knew my outs, the one that was there when I was making plans and plotting and looking forward to moving forward. It was you. The sugar, honey, iced tea that a lot of us got to deal with, we want to deal with it in the carnality of our flesh, and that is just not what's supposed to go on. Apostle Whitlow and I had a minor conversation a few days ago, might even been a week ago, where we talked about the education of love or love's education. And some folks don't think that there's an education in love. The sugar, honey, iced tea, or the poop, we will call it. That way we can stop saying sugar, honey, iced tea. The poop or the manure that we are dealing with, we have to deal with it in love. We got to put up with people's mess, whether you want to or not. You got to put up with people's mess. Here's where your maturity comes. It's through the adversity of the mess that you're dealing with that your growth begins to spurt. That seed, as I said earlier, decomposes and begins to become what God wants it to be. When it went in, it was hard shelled. It sealed the very element that was going to be needed to produce the crop that we were looking for. Spiritually speaking, those of you with gifts, talents, your time, talent, and your treasure, God wants to expose it, but he's got to, first of all, plant you at a certain time. And Apostle Whitlow already said it, where you're planted, don't start pulling yourself up and moving elsewhere as if you're going to get into better soil. The best thing to do is blossom right where you're planted, because in the process of blossoming right where you're planted, you can produce far more fruit than if you uproot and move and start over again. Y'all know that old song, starting all over again is going to be rough, so rough. But we got to make it. Y'all know the song I'm talking about. Let me stop.
But the problem is nobody wants to go through the stench and the stains and the hurt and the hear you. Nobody. Oh, you know how it is when you mess around walking down the street and not looking at what you're doing, and you mess around and step in some dog poop. Oh, Lord, it looked like it smelled worse after you stepped in it than it just sitting there. Now you can't get on the bus. You don't want to get in your car. You can't hardly go to work. Why? Because there's an odor traveling with you that ain't you, but is with you, and it lets people know, I made a mistake in stepping in a way that I should not have stepped.
It's amazing that you make you make mention of that. I was about to say, when we've gone through what we have gone through and we grow through what we go through, we have a stench to us that folk who think they're better than us turn their nose up at. But in the presence of Almighty God, he already knows you have the residue on you that says you're willing to do what's needed and or necessary to expand. That's all I was going to say.
But you know what's good? You know what's good, though? With all that stench that we have on us, here we go. Did not the scripture say it is the washing of the word that makes us clean?
Yes.
So you come get some water. Even though it's a little smelly, you're going to get some water. Just stay under the word.
Amen. And that water may just be a word of encouragement.
It don't matter what people think. It don't matter what they think they smell. It don't matter how they act. Stay under the word. You're going to be clean.
Amen. Amen.
You're going to be all right. That's right there. Under that word. And the more you stay under it, you start smelling like Irish Spring. You start smelling like, hey, man, Red Star. You start smelling like TK1. I'm talking about unto God, not my people.
Mm-hmm.
See, Apostle, the thing that we have to realize is that people do not like process. And
no.
The whole purpose of planted is to be processed, because
that's
the objective of being processed is to be made greater, and people want to be greater without being made.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
This is this part right here I'm trying to get across. And I don't care who you are and where you come from, unless you are a Paul or a special case of God, you don't get saved today, and all of a sudden next week, you already got a briefcase and a collar around your neck, and you know, and you're just going on calling yourself some wonder. I'm telling you, that is a process for the normal person, for the person who needs to get into whatever it is that God is trying to get out of you. There's a process.
Yes, there is.
And I'm not just talking about being called to preach. Anything that God wants you to do, there is a process. If he wants you to
the process leads us to commitment.
Yeah.
It leads to commitment. And see, where a lot of us, now we often say men are scared of commitment when it comes to relationship, but there are a lot of saints who are afraid of commitment when it comes to walking in holiness, walking in righteousness. They're afraid to commit. You know, well, God knows my heart, and I promise you, gentlemen, somewhere down the line, the Lord permits, I'm going to preach a message entitled, Does God Know Your Heart? We holler, God knows my heart. And what we're really saying in essence is I have an escape because of the simple fact that because I'm not perfect, God's not going to hold it against me. No, 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 baby girl. No, baby boy. Let me back you up. Or in my Madea voice, back the hell up. Back the hell up. We got to make you understand something. God not only knows your heart because he knows that your intent is to try to stay in that mode and to keep that covering over you so that when you do something wrong, you can keep saying that you ain't, that you're not measuring to his standard. God's about to pull the covers off of somebody and make them stand up and be a man or be a woman like he wants them to be.
Well, let me say this real quick. Let me say this real quick, because I'm always concerned about the individual who says God knows my heart, and my sense according to the Word of God is yes, He does, because He says that the heart is deceitful above all.
Say it.
So God knows your heart. Deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Matter of fact, he says no man can know it. That's what he says.
That's
no
right.
man can know it, but he knows it. Yeah.
And listen, I was hoping you would go a little further, Pastor Whitlow.
Hold on a minute.
Go ahead.
Because I don't want to think she out in left field somewhere. What you got to say, Kimmy Kim?
Well, I understand, like, God knows our heart and everything like that, and that is true, that the heart is wicked. But also what's in your heart will come out. So when God knows your heart, he knows what you're going to do anyway. So I think sometimes people do that. It's just a, you know, you have a saying, oh, God knows my heart. So with that being said, when you are committed to the Lord, when you do fall, you will feel remorseful. And yeah, we will fall. Thing is, we live a repentance lifestyle. And so that's why you become a fool for the Lord, because you know in this rugged body, it's really impossible to be sin-free each day. A thought is a sin. A physical activity that is against God is a sin. And so our flesh is wicked. This flesh won't make it to heaven. And so with that being said, that's why we must continue on fasting, praying, and reading the word and fellowshipping with other believers who are a senior in the gospel. A senior is not based on the age. It's based on how long they've been walking with the Lord. You may have a 20-year-old who's been on fire for the Lord since he was 5 years old. And so I really believe that it's important that we, glean on each other, because I'm still reminded that my sword and your sword, we can like really grind off each other. And so that's why we become stronger. Yeah, we're going to have those who are, still have a, unstable foundation. And that's why it says in the word too, we must keep them in their prayer, because there are going to be times when we may have a hiccup. And so that's why it's important that we continue on this edifying and lifting each other up. And that is what love is. It's all about, being there for one another. It's an action word. And so I do believe that God knows our heart. And yes, it is wicked, because we cannot do anything without him. But after we adopt it, after we become co-heirs with Jesus and we are in the body of Christ, it says to me that I am a, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And so when we continue on with the word and glean on the word, we can do all things, and we can do all of those things well in the Lord. And well, we do have my friend Chanel Robinson on, but I really believe that it's important that we understand that even though we do fall, it's not the end, because that's why a lot of the youth tends to walk away, because they feel so remorseful. When youth to me in Christ, it's not based on age. It's based on how long you've been with the Lord. You could be 50 years old and still a youth in the Lord. And so when people do come to the Lord and they're new, they may not know that your body is going to fight even more harder, because you're now turning away from it. And so it wants you to come back home, but it's a dying of the flesh on a daily basis. So that is my intake on that.
Okay. I'm going to ask a question right now. Well, really not a question. I'm going to take us to another level. And I'm gonna let Chanel come on in with us. And watch this now. For years, this story has been preached as though the man was a sinner. I'm going tonight make him a Christian and say, through our definition, already here's a man that did do some stuff. No doubt was a tither because the Lord was prospering his land and was really singing on the choir, shouting around the church. And his land was increasing, but there was something wrong. How many folks do we know tonight, sisters, now that jumping and shouting and really don't know what the blessing is for? Chanel, you there?
Oh, yes. A lot of Christians in the church whooping and shouting and don't know what the blessing is. They concentrate on the blessings and not the blesser. And what I mean by that is they only call upon the blesser when they need a blessing. A lot of people treat the blesser like Santa Claus. They say, if I pray for this, he's gonna bless me with this. If I do this, he's gonna bless me with that. Instead of wanting to know the blesser, they just want the blessing.
Okay. I want to know tonight from anybody. Now, maybe I'm going ahead of the lesson to ask that right now. But in hearing this, now he's been through some stuff. And it said that his land was blessed. It was so blessed until what? Somebody please tell me. We done heard this lesson before. What was his attitude? He got blessed, but it seemed like he was forgetting about God because what was his next step?
To store things.
And what did I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. So he figured,
okay, right there. Is there such thing as getting too much from God and can't handle it?
Yeah, if you're immature. If you're immature. I think so. But if you are mature enough, no, you should be able to give it to other people. Some people are selfish with their, like Chanel says. Some people don't know how to handle. Yes. But when God blesses you, he will bless you based on what you can handle. So, no, I agree with you, Apostle Urban.
The scripture tells us two things. There are two things. One, the Bible says that when you bring your tithe to the storehouse, that God will open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. That's the first thing. The other thing is Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. And the fact that God maketh rich is really about growth and accumulation. So if you are growing and accumulating, it's because God wants you to have it. As a matter of fact, I believe it's 3 John, the first says, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God is always about us
not just having the fullness of his promise, not just living in the overflow, but he wants us to have abundance. For Deuteronomy 1:11 says that the Lord will make us 1,000 times more as we are. That is abundance.
But now watch this, though. Watch this, because you brought up something there. He wants that richness and prosperity to match the prosperity of your soul.
Mm.
That's where we get in trouble with that scripture. Everybody uses it as a prosperity scripture, but they're not
right.
Using the other part. He said, even as your soul prospers. There is a
Amen.
Spiritual connection with prosperity. A lot of people are prospering according to the prosperity side, but what is their soul doing? And I think that's the issue that we're going to see in this scripture that we're using tonight. And that's why I asked the question, can God bless you too much? I believe there's something in this scripture for us to see, to be careful even in our prosperity. We want God to do it. God promised to do it, and it shall be so. But there's a thing we got to watch out for, and it's in this scripture tonight. And so we got to dig a little more so we can see it. But I think we need to be careful that we not get blessed beyond where our soul is. Sometimes, and see,
yeah.
I'm trying to paint a picture for y'all to see, and I hope you're seeing it. Sometimes when the soul is not moving with the blessing, we forget.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What scripture are you referring to? I came in late.
I'm referring to the First John 3, where he said he wish above all things that we may prosper and be in health. But then he says, even as your soul prosper.
Mm.
Okay. So that is a, and I didn't put that out there, also. I'm thanking him for throwing that out there, but we need to take a closer look because we jump and shout about the prosperity, but we miss that even as. Oh, we talk about the soul prospering, but we miss that even as. It means just like you're receiving great things from the Lord, your soul ought to be receiving great things from heaven.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
So now we have a picture painted. We have a picture painted. It's coming together very well about this man. He was a blessed man. A church-going man. That's what I'm going to say tonight. You're the blessed church-going man who was so blessed until he started forgetting his God. See, you said it all, Apostle. Father Whitlow, you said it all. But I believe this was a man that forgot. It is the Lord that makes us rich. And it has no sorrow with it. He had great things going on for him. But there was a problem in receiving and forgetting. Anybody else want to say something on that?
You said it all. There are times we can forget where we come from. And because of that, sometimes God will show you who God is in the midst of your blessing. that he has given you, because those blessings are for you to give to others. And like you said in Malachi, he said that he will give you so much blessing that you don't have any room to receive. So that is why your giving back to him and to others is important, because you can't store, you can't really take any of this with you. And you, of course, you can leave it for your offsprings and your generations, but it's very important that we understand that when you are blessed, you should be willing and you want to help those who are in need, because I am told that God loves a cheerful giver. And, you know, if you're storing things for yourself, you're really more so thinking about yourself, and that becomes a selfless, and that is not of God. And so I agree with everything that was said. Yes.
Okay. We sort of know this story. I'm not going to do a verse-by-verse thing. We're going to go for what we know, because after this, he's so blessed, he's so prosperous, until he said, I'm going to do what? I'm going to build. I'm going to start, but I'm going to build
another one.
He was so fast. He had bonds, I don't know, probably bigger than anybody had ever seen. But now he says, I'm going to throw this out here now. The spirit of selfishness comes in. Because he said, I'm going to build bigger barns. Don't be fooled. It looks like he's trying to do more. We're going to find out in a few minutes. It looks like he's trying to do more. But he said, I'm going to build bigger barns. How greedy are we?
That's why you got to be careful what you ask for. Because we may not be able, God knows what we can handle. And I still believe that he would never place more blessing on us than we can handle, as well as problems. So Bishop, phone dropped. I don't know what happened to him, so I'm still waiting on him to come back.
That reminds me about the other scripture with Jabez, when he asked the Lord to bless him indeed, and then he asked the Lord, you know, that after you bless me, help me to not cause pain or evil to someone else. And every time I read that scripture, I think about, you know, him being so blessed that God poured out his blessings upon him, and in order to receive those blessings, he had to have the capacity to receive those blessings. But again, even though he received those blessings, he asked God to help him to not cause pain. And when I think about him, not think about him not hurting someone or hurting the people that he planning on blessing, that, you know, we get so high and I guess so high and mighty that we don't look down on other people. You know, once God blesses us, we still can help others. I always want God to, if he's gonna bless me, I want to be a blessing to others once he blesses me. That has always been what I pray for, that I can be a bless someone else.
Now, I want to talk about these bigger barns for a minute. Who did you say fell off? Is Apostle Whitlow still here?
I'm right here.
Yes, Apostle is here.
Okay.
It is Bishop-elect.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Whitlow. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. It just came to me, but here's what I'm trying to show you. Let's say a pastor has a good church, growing church, mm-hmm. nice mm-hmm. sized church. Let's say, I don't want to go ridiculous, let's say the church can hold about 500.
Okay.
He got 450 people. And it's nearing mm-hmm. capacity. Not at capacity yet, but it's nearing capacity. Oh, we so blessed up in here. We got to build a new church. What are we building a new church for?
And we have not
done with the 450 what we need to do yet.
A lot of times it's about the way we look to the community, like we're doing something. Because, you know, every church, well, let me not say every church. The average church has what is called a building fund. Now, the problem is with the building fund, there's often things that are lacking in the current edifice. But yet they want to build a new edifice, and then they want everybody to pledge for that new edifice because they want to look a certain way. And that's what it's all about in today's time. Sanctuaries, these local assemblies want to look a certain way instead of being the way God would have them to be. That's what it boils down to. Not wisdom, but it's what they want to do.
But, Rich, I got to stir you up. There's a church right now with the bigger barn that's trying to keep the barn before the barn be taken. What is this mentality that is going on in our country? We got to go bigger when where we are is satisfactory. Is Rich with us?
No, he's dropped. He has not returned yet.
Okay. And I guess I'll go back to you again, Apostle. What is this? What is this spirit across the country, amen, that is hitting our pulpits and our congregations that we must go bigger when we can't maintain what we got now?
Amen.
Again, it's all about appearance. We are in the day of appearance. We are in the day of appearance because our appearance is what is attractive. If you have the right appearance, you attract. If you don't have the right appearance, you don't attract. So that's why if there is money, if you look like money, what happens? You have friends. You have people who are interested. You have people who want to join in and be affiliated with because of the appearance. But when there's no appearance, people are not interested. So if your church looks raggedy, if your sanctuary, should I say, looks raggedy and beat down and whatnot, nobody wants to be a part of that. Nobody wants to come around it. Nobody wants anything to do with it. But let it look like something. Let it look like the house of the Lord that has been built up and fixed up and made to have value. Oh, then, yeah, everybody want to be a part of it. Oh, this is my house of worship. Oh, this, we got a nice church. Oh, it's so pretty. It's just so pretty. Why? Because you got some stained glasses, nice carpeting. You've got a plexiglass podium, nice baby grand piano, a nice organ, a nice drum set. You know, and chandeliers that are bright, things of that magnitude. So those are things that are captivating the people. That's what people look for. They look for things. They don't look to see if the power of God is there. They don't look to see if God is ministering and moving. They don't look for that because that doesn't matter to them. It's all about appearance.
I'm going to have to talk about that another time, but something just hit me. Does God go to church? Let me get back to our lesson. Now, y'all don't pay me no attention. Hallelujah. Now it says, he says, notice your language now. I'm going to tear down. He didn't say God told me to. I'm going to tear down my barn. Now notice, now the barns will already be. I'm going to tear down my barn and build bigger barns. Lord have mercy. He must have been a bishop because he had more than one barn. Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. Somebody didn't catch that. Hallelujah.
Oh, you're
right. So he said, I'm going to build bigger barns.
Uh-huh.
And here's his mistake. What did he say, Kimmy Kim? He said, I'm going to do
I.
What?
Then he put the I.
That was the first mistake. The second mistake was what? Thinking that he can go bigger without God.
And I would say it to my soul. So you have many good things store up. And he didn't reference anything to God. He's more so focusing on. No, it was all about him.
There was nothing said about God.
No, thank you, God, for this. Yeah, that's dangerous.
This scripture is dangerous to every believer. Get message without God. Notice what I said. I did not say the prosperity message was not needed. I didn't say it was wrong. I said to every believer that's into it, without God being the head, without God leading you further, and you start getting into the highness of life.
Uh-huh.
He said, I will build. I. What happens when you get into I? Somebody talk to me.
You lose God. I mean, I've been there, so I don't want to go back.
But that I has a name, and we call it what?
Pride.
And then there's an S word too. What is?
Selfish.
Oh, there you go. It is a spirit that brings on pride and selfishness, and there's a few other words we can throw at it. But them two are enough by themselves. It brings on pride and selfishness. And when he said, then the last thing he said really got him in trouble. I'm going to build bigger barns than I. He said, and I'm going to sit back.
Mm-hmm.
And my soul is going to take it easy.
That's what he said.
And we have no control over our soul. Only God controls the soul. Yeah.
That's what he said. He said, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be. In other words, what he's saying is, at this point, I'm no longer going to look out for my health. I'm not going to look out for my well-being. All I'm going to do is take it easy. I'm going to become, what he's saying, I'm going to get lazy. I'm going to kick back and get lazy, and I'm going to eat. I'm going to get drunk, and I'm going to be happy about it. That's really what he's saying.
And in that laziness, it also included forget God.
Uh-huh.
He called him a fool, too.
And that's the biggest mistake, because who was blessing him?
God.
God.
Okay.
Who was giving him the strength to get out in the field and till the field? I mean, everything, when you think about this, everything he had, everything he was doing, everything he got came from God. And then because the Lord blessed him, he didn't even mention God.
But upon this, again, this shows us something about God as well. because people think that God is a has favorites, and to an extent he does, but the Bible says that he's no respecter of a person. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So if anyone is willing to follow the principles that God has established, saved or not, God will give him the same result. Why? He says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So if a person is willing to follow the principles that have been laid out by God, God is not going to discriminate. You can be in complete sin. But if you follow the principles of tithing, if you follow the principles of sowing, you get the results. God doesn't discriminate. You get the results. Now, he would that you have a relationship with him. But he will not deny the principles that he has established.
Now, Boss, I'm going to have to agree with you and then give an example to it. A lot of people talked about them and talked against them. And that was the Reverend Ike. But Reverend Ike was doing nothing but teaching Bible principles.
Right.
But when he talked to the saints, he had the coin and talked about being blessed. When he talked to the people, and when he talked to corporate heads, movie stars and all that, he would tell them, your luck is up.
Mm-hmm.
People thought he was a phony because he was saying blessings to one group and your luck is up on the other. But he understood to say blessings to the world made them miss the commas, made them miss the concept.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said blessing to the church got even talking about. When he said good luck to the world got what he was talking about. But the basis of his talk was the scriptures.
Right.
And on both sides of the coin, a lot of people became millionaires because of their life. One man I know
sure.
Anybody on this phone know Famous Amos? Anybody ever had his cookies? Famous Amos was making cookies in his house. Some kind of way he started giving them to the kids. The kids took them to the parents. And one woman went to Famous House, because that was his real name. She went to Famous House and said, you need to come talk to my pastor. Because some kind of way, from that neighborhood, the cookies had wound up getting to Reverend Ike. He said, this man don't know what he got. He needs to come see me.
Oh.
Reverend Ike told him, you got something that needs to be packaged and put on the shelf. He said, and you need to make it where you will receive the money. He said, start calling your cookies Famous Amos. And they packaged them and put them on the shelf, and the man became a multimillionaire. And then when he sold his cookies, but they had to keep the name on the back, he was able to get money for the company and the name. And the Famous Amos cookie is still on the shelf. And as the pastor was talking about the tithing, how many places can you go without running into a Holiday Inn? The man that owned Holiday Inn, he got as big as he has because of the tithing plan.
Mm-hmm.
He heard about tithing and said, I'm going to try it and see if it's real. And the Lord, he was tithing out of the Holiday Inn money that he was making. And a hotel came up here, a hotel came up there, and he kept tithing. And now you can't go nowhere without a Holiday Inn. How many of y'all ever been to that restaurant, Checkers?
Oh, yeah.
Checkers is owned by a black man, but he got into the diving arena from what he made from Checkers. Now Checkers is everywhere. The Lord bless his business. I'm trying to tell you that when God does it, you ought to keep giving to God. You ought to keep praising God. You ought to keep talking about God and showing somebody else what God did for you so he can do it for them. This man here forgot the main ingredient of his growth. And his crop and his harvest was getting ready to have a hard fall. He said, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to eat. I'm going to feel myself and my soul is going to take ease. I'm just going to kick back and relax and chill and eat up something every day, drink up something every day, and I'm just going to be at ease. Ain't said nothing about God. Ain't said nothing about him. Thank God he blessed me to find the right field, find the right materials, get the right options. I mean, he didn't thank God for nothing. Everything was about him now. But the word came to him. I don't know if it was Jesus. I don't know if it was the angel. I don't know how that word got to him. The Bible does not say, but it says that it was told to him. What was told to him?
But God said unto him, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Now hold it right there. Not only does God call him a fool, he said, but listen here, fool, everything you got, somebody else, get ready to get.
Yep.
So why would you forget me and didn't know that you were getting ready to die tonight? Saying you would have set these barns up where everybody in town could have came and got a little something and lived for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you're going to sit back. You're going to eat. You're going to drink, and not, actually what the Lord is saying to him, you ain't going to get a chance to enjoy nothing I bless you to get, because you don't know how to act. You don't know how to respond to the blessing. You don't know. You act like you did this yourself. But I'm going to show you tonight that when you don't bless me, you can't get none of
it. Amen.
Lord have mercy. And, I mean, this scripture start off telling us about how rich he was and his crops were growing and all this. He went from being in a great place with God to winding up being a fool and losing everything.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fool am I? What kind of fool are we talking about tonight? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anytime you forget God, you are a fool. And then because you are a fool, we discovered last week, and we see it in this scripture this week, you are saying, conscious or unconscious, you are saying, I am God. And can't you hear it in this man's language? Can't you see it in the way he's acting? He had become a God to himself. He said, I'm going to build me some bigger barns. I'm going to eat and drink, be merry. I'm going to sit back and take it easy. Don't you know one thing? Even with the bigger barns, you notice he had got so selfish, he didn't even think about the stuff could rot. He didn't think about mice, and I know nobody will hear that, but he didn't think about mice and rats to get in the barn and mess up everything. He didn't think about worms. He didn't think about millibugs. I mean, all those things that could have got in that barn and messed up what he had received. He was so caught up in him until he said, let's take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and take it easy. Now, let's make that spiritual for a minute. How do we know, never mind the blessing, now we know they're blessed, but how do we know when somebody is taking it easy inside and slipping away from God?
Because there are simple things. One, they become I want to say the right word. They become
selfish.
Indifferent.
Selfish.
They become indifferent in the sense that they are no longer focused on the things of God. They are now focused on what benefits them. They become like that Laodicean church. They're just so happy and content because of what they have. And the problem is that we're in a day and time now where people think just as long as they have stuff that, you know, that God is moving in their life. That's their mindset. Oh, well, I got stuff. I've accumulated this. I've accumulated that. So I know God is with me. I know God is moving for me. I know God is doing this and that in my life. And so, again, they become indifferent.
Bishop-elect, I'm glad to have you back. I want to ask you a question. Since you was away from us for a little bit, have you ever noticed in this text that God says nothing to him about a chance to repent?
I've noticed that, and I would equate that to his arrogance. And if we read the book of Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 6, it talks about 6 things that God hates. One thing is an abomination unto him. And pride, a proud look, arrogance, haughtiness, God doesn't like any of that. That turns him completely off. And I would believe that would be the main reason why this individual didn't even get a chance to repent, because it's not like it's his first rodeo. He knew better. I believe that, but that's just my opinion.
So, Chanel, can we say that this man was so far gone, God didn't even allow him a chance to repent? He was so into himself. He was such a fool that God said, you're going to die tonight. But he doesn't mention to him about anything about a chance to repent.
Apostle, can I interject something there? I mean, I'm trying to recall who was it that basically shared. I think it may have been T.D. Jakes, may have been Noel Jones. I'm not sure which. Here's what they said. It wasn't so much the fact that God, this guy had such a level of arrogance, and you said it earlier. I heard it just before my phone went out, that, you know, he felt like he himself was God, like he was in control. And this, to me, was the absolute element. I won't call it surprise, but it was the element that put him in a position to put to test the very thing he believed, that he was in control. God showed him in so many words. Let me show you who's really in control. This night, your life is required. Now let's see you do something about that. That's all I want to interject in there.
So let me throw something else at you. And this is for anybody. Does that mean that the thief on the cross theory could not, may not be real, or may not work for everybody?
No, the thief on the cross, he had something that the rich man didn't have. The thief on the cross had opportunity.
No.
Jesus.
This last minute theory that both people put out there.
Oh, yes.
You just like the thief on the cross. No, you're not like the thief on the cross. You just brought that out. You're not like the thief on the cross. This man here we're studying tonight thought he had it made. Thought he had God. But his soul was required. And no doubt, when that word was spoken to him, he was getting ready to die. What time is it?
It is almost 12 o'clock.
No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about this man in this story. What time is it? The Lord said your soul is required tonight.
Required, right. Mm-hmm.
So what time did he have for repentance? And the reason I brought that
zero
up, we got to stop with this cross teaching. Some may have a chance, some may not. But we can't teach it like everybody that waits till the last minute is going to have a chance to repent. Everybody's not going to get that chance.
Wow.
Pastor Whitlow, talk to me. I know your spirit is chiming and running and all of that. Go ahead.
No, but it's the truth that, you know, the Lord said, God told him, said, this night your soul is required of you. And the thing about it is that, you know, he had taken his focus off of the one who had blessed him. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us, thou shalt remember not to forget the Lord thy God, for it is him who giveth thee power to get wealth. So
That's
the
right.
fact that this man had to get in his field and plow it and plant seeds and get a harvest, his thing should have been, thank you, Lord. And it's amazing that we're talking about this, because some people are waiting for a couple of weeks from now just to tell God thanks for everything, when in everything we're supposed to be giving thanks as is. We should be acknowledging. What did Solomon say? In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord and he'll direct your path. But what we've been trying to do is make God acknowledge our accomplishments. But we couldn't do it if he had not given us the ability, the know-how, the power. That's the reality.
That's right.
And so, unfortunately, this man now, when he closes his eyes, he does not wake back up. It's that simple. Because he says, you fool, your soul this night is required of you. Now, who going to get what you done worked for? Who going to get? Because at the end of the day, when you leave this world, you can't leave with it. So somebody going to get it. Somebody going to fight over it. Somebody might kill it. Somebody might steal for it. But somebody going to get it.
I agree.
So at the end of it all, we like prosperity, but we need God more than our prosperity.
Absolute truth.
Prosper and live long, something Spock used to say on Star Trek, but I tell you tonight, get God, and he'll keep you long with your prosperity.
Amen.
The moral for all those listening tonight, the moral of the story is not about not prospering. It's about not forgetting God.
Amen.
In all that he gives you, if you go to Yale, get a BA, a MA, a doctorate, in all that you get, don't forget God. If you go to Southern Connecticut, if you go to Princeton, if you go to Harvard, if you go to Oxford, if you go wherever, UCLA and all that, wherever you go, whatever you acquire, however high you go, every step you make, every move you take, you better tell God thank you. You better keep him right where he needs to be. Now I hear Alfred Hitchcock walking up on me, saying that it's time that we must go.
You've
been a dear audience tonight. Very dear audience. We're not finished. We just got to quit. And there's more words to come to you. But guess what? You're going to have to come back to another episode of The Voice next week to get more, to hear more, and receive more. And I say to you, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God has more in store for you. Amen. Somebody give us a closing prayer. And Timmy Kim, get ready to drop it, roll it, and make it rock.
Father, we thank you tonight for this time you've allowed. Looking at your word and getting revelation, help us never to forget you, but always to be thankful for everything you have blessed us with, whether it be little or it be great. For we know that, God, all good things come from you, and we appreciate you. Bless us all tonight and keep us, even as many are getting ready to go to sleep and others are going to work. I pray that you would get your glory and keep us strong. Wake us up again in the morning that we may give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
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 Good night, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
I can't help but thank you, Lord. I can't help but lift my voice. When burdens were heavy, you raised me and gave me strength. I needed to go on. I can't help but praise your name. I can't help but lift my hands. Yeah, when I strayed away, you forgave me and saved me and gave me another chance. Oh, 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 so many things you've given I did not deserve and didn't earn. Just chose to give up on me. Instead, you've always taken care of me. You've held me, you've kept me, you've loved me through good times and bad times. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that you've done for me, Lord. Thank you for turning my misery into day. Ooh, I can't help but give you my all. I can't help but try my best, yes. I know I can lean on you, count on you. I can depend on you. With you I'm truly blessed. I can't help but love you right. And I can't help but try to do right by you. Lord, you call me your own, and you made me belong, all in spite of the wrong I do. After all of my mistakes, you should have just turned and walked away. You held me when I felt like giving up. When I slipped and fell down, you picked me up. You constantly show me you love me. You show you think of me. I praise you.